at EESD.org under Board Meetings. Official minutes are written and approved by the Board of Trustees. Approved official minutes are also posted on the district website under Board Meetings. Okay. At this point, I'm going to start with the roll call, but before I start the roll call, I want to say that Trustee Jim Zito would like for all the community to know that his camera is down, his name is up, but his camera down. So he is with us, but his technology is not working. And we want to make sure that everyone knows that he is present and accounted for. And thank you, Jim, for letting me know so that I can make the note to the community. Okay, we will have our roll call. Trustee Mays?
Here.
Trustee Hansen?
Here.
Trustee Corpus?
Here.
Trustee Zito?
Present.
And Trustee Welch is present, and I see Dr. Flores is present, and Ms. Villarreal is also with us. Okay, we will dispense with the flag salute because our devices have different speeds and it just comes out too distorted. So we will dispense with the flag salute. Item 1.3, district highlights. I will defer to you, Dr. Flores.
Actually, we are not going to have district highlight. I embedded that into the presentation.
Okay, fantastic. Moving right along. Is there anyone present to give comments from the CSEA? Do we have Pauline with us tonight?
Yes, I am
Hi,
here.
Hi, Pauline.
Hi.
Benton, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Pauline Benton, Chapter President, CSEA Evergreen Chapter 432. On July 20th and 21st, the California School Employees Association held its first ever virtual conference. 1,717 registered delegates and 1,977 member visitors from all over California participated in this 94th annual conference. One highlight from this year's conference was a webcast from motivational keynote speaker, Kevin Bracey. Mr. Bracey from Sacramento chronicled his troubled childhood affected by domestic violence, and like so many others, attributes his adult successes in particular to the classified staff who supported him as a young child. The bus driver who cheerily greeted him each morning and the school front office staff helped him see his potential and strengthen his self-confidence. Kevin's message emphasizes the contribution each person makes to the overall success within a community, especially in schools, and especially the contributions of classified staff. He calls classified staff the infrastructure to education, the mortar that holds it all together. My message this evening is not just intended for the Board of Trustees, but mostly intended for everyone who is listening now or who will be listening to the recording. This evening, a reopening of school plans for the 2020-2021 school year is on the agenda for the board's approval. We are approaching the beginning of a new school year in a setting not experienced and with continued concerns for health and safety that will most likely be a normal part of life. My message is simple but direct. When you imagine or you see a child sitting at their tech device interacting with their teacher, take a moment to reflect on what needs to happen to make that interaction possible, the infrastructure and the mortar that is needed to hold it all together. Yes, teachers are and will be working very hard to make sure each child receives quality instruction. However, there's so much more that needs to happen for that interaction to succeed. Instructional aides supporting teachers and students, IT staff making sure staff and students have a working device and the needed connectivity, custodial staff keeping facilities clean and sanitary for staff to be able to come to work as needed, food service workers preparing and distributing meals, school front office staff answering families' questions and providing support to school and district staff, library media assistants making sure instructional materials are available and allocated, maintenance staff making sure all facilities are in good repair, and business office staff procuring the needed PPE, technology, and other supplies, and paying the bills so that the district can continue to do business. These are just a few examples of what classified staff have been doing and will continue to do. There's no doubt about it. Classified staff are the infrastructure and the mortar that makes this district strong and successful. We are not always at the forefront of the conversation on how to best deliver a quality education, but we always should be. Keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline. Is Ms. Suzanne Lima available for the ETA report?
I'm here, Leela.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mrs. Lima.
Thank you. Good evening, Suzanne Lima, second grade teacher at Millbrook and president of ETA. I'm finding it hard to believe that teachers and staff will be starting our 2020-2021 school year in a little over 2 weeks and then welcoming our new students to our classes just 2 days after that. I do not remember a summer where we had so much critically important work that needed to be completed. This board meeting is our third, I believe, for just the month of July. As you know, we have begun negotiations for the reopening MOU this week. As you also know, negotiations are never easy, and there is a need for a lot of discussion and listening to each other at the table to come to an agreement that best meets the needs of our students and our teachers and staff. There are several key areas we still need to negotiate in order to complete this MOU. While both sides have an understanding of what the state is requiring, including daily live interaction and instructional minutes for each grade level, we have not yet reached agreement on how that looks. This will take time. I am encouraged that we do have a common interest to provide the absolute best educational program we can to every one of our students. But we are living in an extraordinary year. Everything we know has been turned, if not upside down, at least sideways. We have a lot to prepare and learn, and we are ready and willing. In fact, many of our teachers have been doing professional development on their own throughout the summer through CTA workshops, links on websites we found online, and through collaboration with grade level teams and colleagues. We are signing up and preparing for the district PD that will be happening the week before school starts and gearing up for another unprecedented year of teaching online. I am glad the district is providing this PD and that there is a recognition that supporting teachers is supporting students. I want to reassure this board and our community that we take our job of educating our students extremely seriously. We also know living during a worldwide pandemic is traumatic, and we will do everything we can to help our students with their social emotional health as well. School, even if it's online, creates a sense of normalcy in an otherwise chaotic world. We understand this, and we know that even more than any other year, we need to be responsive to the needs of our kids and watch for signs of distress and anxiety. I hope our students know we are extremely excited to meet them this year. We look forward to getting to know them and introducing them to many new and exciting things. We also look forward to a day when this virus has been contained and our communities have become safe again to welcome them back into our schools and classrooms. But until that day, we welcome them into our virtual classrooms with open hearts and open arms. Thanks.
Thank you, Mrs. Lima. Okay, item 2.3, Daniel, are there any comments from the public at this time?
I don't see any emails. Let me see if anyone has their hand raised. No, not at this time.
Okay, moving on to item 3.1, we have a personnel report tonight. I believe it's going to be coming from Assistant Superintendent Tirico. Is that correct, Dr. Flores? Okay. Assistant Superintendent Tirico, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Let me just gather myself here. Now, is this the two appointments of principals, or are we doing the regular personnel report first?
I believe it's whatever information that you wanted to present tonight.
Is what it's a personnel report.
Okay, go ahead.
I had to switch screens here. So this is just a personnel report. We're just updating as we have some retirements and we have some resignations and also an approval of a leave and a few hiring of two temporary teachers on temporary contracts and two probationary contracts for school psychologists. So it's a standard personnel, HR personnel approval.
Okay. And Mr. Corpus, would you please present the items in the 3.2 and 3.3? You have to unmute yourself. Unmute. Chris?
Okay. President Welch, those are not consent items.
They're not consent? Okay, they just need to be approved.
Yeah, they're not action items.
Thank you for that point of order, Ms. Villarreal. I really appreciate that. Okay. You're off the hook then. Okay, item 3.2, approval of public employee appointment of Sheboygan Middle School principal. It's a management personnel pursuant to Government Code 54957, and it's Marina Doxy. I need a motion to have that item approved.
Motion to approve by Bonnie.
Second.
Thank you. It has been moved by Trustee Mace and second by Trustee Zito. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Trustee Mace?
Aye.
Trustee Hansen?
Aye.
Trustee Corpus? Chris?
Aye.
Trustee Zito?
Yes.
And Trustee Welch? Yes. So we approved that appointment, and aye, that person is Marina Doxy. Marina, at this time, I want to know if you have any words you would like to say. Is Marina available?
May I say something before?
I am here. Go ahead, Dr. Flores.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Flores.
I just want to say that I'm very pleased for the appointment of Ms. Marina Doxy. She is a longtime member of our teaching community, and she served as a teacher, a mentor, instructional coach, and administrator in both elementary and middle school levels. And starting at Quimby Oak Middle School in 2007, Dr. Doxy taught both seventh and eighth grade history and social studies, where she encouraged students to make connections between history and current events as positive change agents of society. She's assumed so many different roles within the last year. I got to know her a little bit more as the induction coach, supporting our teachers, as well as assistant principal at Quimby Oak. She has lots of energy. She is very analytical, data-driven, and she is very much loved by our Evergreen School District community. So I'm very pleased that she's our new appointee. I keep saying Quimby Oak. Lincoln, I have my apologies, at Sheboygan Middle School.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Flores. Dr. Doxy, would you like to say a couple words?
First, I'll just say thank you for allowing me to take on this position. I am honored and pleased to join the Colt family and to lead Sheboygan through distance learning, but on that, and make sure that our kids are getting the best education possible. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Doxy. Board, we're glad to have you. Okay, item 3.3, approval public employee appointment, Tom Massimo Elementary School management personnel pursuant to Government Code 54957. And that person is Christina Franchini. And I would like to entertain a motion at this time.
So moved.
A second, please.
Second, Bonnie.
There was a motion by Trustee Zito and second by Trustee Mace for approval. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, Trustee Mays?
Aye.
Trustee Hanson?
Aye.
Trustee Corpus? Chris Corpus? I think his computer speed is delayed. Trustee Zito?
Yes.
Chris, can you hear me? What's your pleasure? Okay. I think that's an aye.
Yeah, can you do a thumbs up?
Can we get your vote in? Thank you. Okay, and Trustee Welch, aye. Okay, so that motion has been carried, and we'd like to... I think Chris's device is delayed. Okay, so welcome, Christina Francantini, and I would like to, I'm sure Dr. Flores, you'd like to make a comment?
I do. I'm very pleased that you approved Ms. Franquina to serve as principal at Maximoto. As you know, she's been an evergreen educator in 2000 and started her career at Cedar Grove, teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th. She's worked at J.F. Smith as an instructional coach as well. Her passion and what I've known her, a lot of her work that I've seen has been around instructional technology. And she's really stepped up in so many ways during this time of distance learning. Beyond that, as assistant principal at Leyva Middle School, she was very proactive, great in making connections with staff and students and families. And we're just so very pleased to add her to the list of our wonderful principals for Evergreen School District. And we're excited to have her at Matsumoto.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Flores. Christina, would you like to say a couple words, please?
I'm very excited to join the family at Matsumoto. And in these unprecedented times, I am happy to know that I have an awesome staff that's going to be able to lead our kids through success this year.
Thank you so much. We're glad to have you and welcome aboard. And I've worked with both you and Marina, so I'm very happy to see you guys move up to the rank and take great leadership positions. And God bless you. It's a lot of work, but I know you guys are up to the test. Okay, we're going to move right along. We're doing pretty good tonight. Item 4.1, we have an approval for the reopening of a school plan for the school year 2021, but I believe, Dr. Flores, you would like to speak to that item before we take a vote on that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a presentation, and if we look, before I proceed, if I could ask everybody to put themselves on mute so we don't have background noise. And so started. Let me share my screen. I have a presentation. Okay, here we go. Okay, so this evening I want to talk to you about the elements of our district's reopening plan. And as you can see there, I have this broken into a total of 6 different elements. The first section is on our response and planning for the 2021 school year. And I want to share with you that like everybody else, we had to make a quick pivot. March 13th, Friday, March the 13th, was the day that we were notified that schools needed to be closed. And we had to completely shift. And from March through May, there were many great things that happened within our district. For one, we had a trained staff. This is a complete paradigm shift. And while many on staff felt very comfortable, we're very familiar with Google Classroom and how to engage students through technology. Distance learning was just something new for us, and we had to make sure that we provided professional development for our staff. And staff included not just our teachers, but also our paraprofessionals and other support staff. And we, through the wonderful work of our staff, we were able to train almost 300 teachers and staff on distance learning best practices. During that time, our goal was all as it is now to ensure that every child has a device. And so we distributed 3,263 devices to students. We also provided a number of hot spots, and I don't have it here, that information. And on day one, we had to get everything going. Our nutrition services staff had mobilized and provide meals. And as you know, the meals that we provided were not just to our students, we provide meals to our families, to the community as a whole, and serving 94,065 meals during that time. As far as student participation, I'm very proud of the participation rate. Most of our schools were in the high 90s with three on a consistent 99%. And then other things that we wanted to make sure that we provided was a district helpline for technology, and we had 928 calls during that time. As you can imagine, everybody had to mobilize, and like Pauline mentioned earlier, a lot of our classified staff was very much involved in mobilizing and getting out there and getting the job done. Our teachers mobilized themselves, shifted in the mode of teaching, got the professional development that they needed to get going. And so it was a quick shift. I just wanted to give you a recap of what happened then. Now, the decisions that a district, any district has to take, as you know, are very much, they have to be directed, they have to come from a very informed approach. And so we continue to keep our ears to the ground as to what the California Department of Education is telling us, as far as well as the California Department of Health, and for us in our local level, the Santa Clara County Public Health. And while it would be great to know all the variables moving forward, we do get information every single day, and at times we have to make certain shifts. So in sharing this with you, that this makes planning a little bit challenging at times, but we're doing the very best that we can to make sure that we are the choices that we are making are based, are coming from an informed approach. Now, as far as the reopening of our schools, I want to just go back. Yeah, I always go back to our guiding principles. Because I think that is the one thing that those are the principles that we need to go back as we plan. And of course, health and safety being a very high priority, adhering to public health orders and really relying on guidance and recommendations from public health officials. Our flexibility, reasonable accommodation for individual students, families, and employees in response to their unique situations. Life has changed a lot for people. We have the impact of COVID goes beyond the health impacts. It goes into, you know, things such as employment, illnesses, et cetera. And we want to be able to provide as much flexibility as possible. And with COVID, another guiding principle, our student social emotional well-being is one of the things that is a priority to us. We know that this has been a very challenging time for everybody. And we want to support the social emotional well-being of our students, the staff, and community. And then, of course, learning. Our kids need to continue to have high quality instruction that is aligned to the California state standards and that really prepares them for the next grade level. That solid foundation is a must for us. Share this with you as well before that our goal continues to be to develop a robust reopening plan that addresses how do we keep students and employees safe? How do we reopen schools under various circumstances? Our goal is that our kids will be coming back eventually. So as we make plans, we are preparing for different scenarios. How do we adapt our learning environments to various circumstances? And how do we create equitable learning environments for all students under any circumstance? So here's our process and our approach. I go back to this because I do believe that anytime you're dealing with something as huge as this, decisions cannot be made in a vacuum. Planning cannot be made in a vacuum. You need the involvement. This is teamwork. This is when community and staff come together to do the very best possible, because too much is at stake here. The future of our kids, in a sense, it's at stake. And so our process is one that we wanted to ensure that we engage parents, guardians, teachers, principals, support staff, working together with the goal of maximizing teaching and learning in a very safe and healthy environment. As a recap as well, as you know, we have the Superintendent's Teaching and Learning and Safe Environments Advisory Committee, and we've got stakeholders from every group. This committee meets every Wednesday for 2 hours, and the half hour before that meeting, they listen to community, and we've had many members of our community actually go and speak to the committee, talk about any concerns that they may have, voice out opinions, and committee does take that information into our meetings. And so we're meeting every week. Ultimately, their job is really to gain information, to become very informed, because at the end of the day, they will be providing, and they have, feedback and recommendations as to how, as a district, we can best meet the needs of our students using the guiding principles that I've just shared with you and our district's work to address these principles. And this committee actually has the different components. So under the Superintendent's Teaching and Learning and Safe Environments Advisory Committee, we actually have three subcommittees. And under each subcommittee, we have multiple teams. So for example, the Educational Services team, which deals with anything related to teaching and learning, anything related to instructional models, social emotional learning, professional development, student support, the work that we're doing around equity. We've got different teams. We've got elementary teams. We've got a middle school team. We've got an equity team. We have so many people working because school's around the corner. We must be ready. We have in this all these subcommittees are meeting every week as well. We've got the facilities and pupil services subcommittee. The health and safety of our children and our staff and our community is a high priority. So they're focused in health and safety, on facilities and space and technology, nutrition services, maintenance and operations, all those things, transportation. A lot of work goes into planning in this committee of many stakeholders has been very engaged in getting that work done. And then, of course, we've got our human resources subcommittee that deals with anything related to staffing, contract agreements, layoffs, trainings of to newly established policies, et cetera. We saw in the report earlier, many new employees, you know, the normal operations of our school district doesn't stop with COVID. And we continue to make sure that we're fully staffed with high quality people. Lots of work happens within the HR subcommittee. And just a recap, I'm not gonna go too much into this because I've done that before, but the Educational Services Subcommittee, you see all the work in this presentation, the things that they do. And this is basically in a nutshell, shows the scope of their work. We've got nurses, counselors, social workers, teachers, principals, educational services staff, techs, we've got classified staff, you name it, we've got a lot of people here. Within our pupil services subcommittee, we also have a ton of people working here with stakeholders representing different groups. I shared with you earlier too in another presentation, the path to reopen schools. And as you have seen in the spring and the summer, we have continued to engage stakeholders to solicit their input that will basically inform decisions as to how we as a district can best meet the needs of our students using the guiding principles. Early summer, in the summer, we started preparing our facilities and school sites to reopen, because even though our students are going to be learning from their afar. Our facilities continue to be open for our teachers to go in and teach from their classroom. And ultimately, when we shift back, we want to be prepared and have everything in place to keep our children and our staff safe. Currently, we continue to, late in the summer, as you can see, the provide professional development. We've got several trainings that are coming up, and for all staff, because our, for example, our paraprofessionals have a role in the classroom as well. So we're including all staff and even our substitute teachers in the training, because when it comes to working with our students, we want to know that we have maximized the knowledge that our staff has and being able to do a great job with kids. And of course, we will continue to engage our stakeholders throughout the process, ensuring that we are providing accurate and up-to-date information to all families and staff. Throughout this process, we have solicited stakeholders. We've had our community input sessions with the superintendent. We've had open meetings. Let me just actually go to the next slide, because this will give you an idea of the many meetings that we've had. We've had community meetings in English. We've had them in Spanish and Vietnamese. We've had the community input sessions that happened prior to each of the advisory committee meetings. I've had a meeting with our teachers, another one with our CSEA support staff. We've had our student focus groups going on throughout the summer. And of course, here at the board meeting. And in addition to that, we had the District 8 roundtable meeting. So lots of discussions happening. We want to make sure that our community is completely informed of the work that we are doing. This is too much. It's too important to not have information out. So I share with you the decisions that are made are shaped by health and safety guidelines and directives that come from the California Department of Public Health. Of course, our governor and the Santa Clara County Department of Public Health, our local public health. As you may recall, on July 17th, that's the date, and it was 2 days after our board meeting when the California Department of Public Health mandated school closures for schools located in counties on the COVID-19 watch list. Santa Clara County is on that list and actually has one of the highest cases of deaths across the state. Governor Newsom addressed the public as well on July 17th at his press conference and issued a written statement aligned to the California Department of Public Health directive. And then at that time, schools and school districts were told that we may reopen for in-person instruction only if we are located in a county that has not been in a county monitoring list within the prior 14 days. We continue to be on that list, and we'll see how we move forward. At our last board meeting, we talked about planning to reopen in December since there's a natural break. However, if we are told by public, if we get a public mandate telling us we're no longer on that watch list, then we have to pivot at that time. However, given the number of cases of COVID cases and the number of deaths, I don't know that we could anticipate now. We will be prepared one way or another. We were told that schools are to remain physically closed and may only provide distance learning until they have been on the monitoring list for at least 14 days. Now, distance learning. What can students and families expect? And I think that this is the one area that most families are looking for information, our staff as well. Everybody is wondering what can we expect, and rightfully so. We have, I shared a lot of this information at the last board meeting, the distance learning requirements for schools under Senate Bill 98 that require and define daily live interaction. The Senate bill also addresses issues around school attendance. It has expectations on daily instructional minutes. It mandates requirements for serving students with special needs. There are requirements as to how we need to make sure that as a district that we are preventing student disengagement. How are we engaging our families, our kids who are absent? This Senate bill also addresses student and families' connectivity. It addresses weekly engagement records that must be kept to show that we are engaging our students. And it really, through this Senate bill, it also covers the replacing accountability plans that we've known as the old LCAP. The LCAP has been modified. We're gonna be working on that document shortly and engaging our community as well. And much of that document has shifted, the attention has shifted us to our response to COVID and the things that we are doing within the requirements under Senate Bill 98. So what can students and families expect? Well, students and family can expect that school schedules will reflect the instructional minutes that are mandated in Senate Bill 98. And as you can see here, we've got 3 hours for TK and kinder. We've got 3 hours and 50 minutes for grades 1 through 3, 4 hours for grades 4 through 8. Now, within our schedules, you will see, once you get those, you will see that we have breaks, just like we did before when schools were open, our students had recess and they had breaks. And these, by the way, do not count toward instructional minutes. We have actually an extended lunch period because we recognize that children are at home and they will need to walk to school or their parents are going to drive them to pick up their lunch. These minutes do not count toward instructional minutes as well. Within our weekly calendar, something that we have as a commitment to our families is that beyond the mandated instructional minutes and the time that kids are in class, we will offer enrichment opportunities that will be at no cost to families. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Children will have many options as classes that they could participate in. And this, again, will be at no cost to families. We will continue to have school-based activities and clubs. They're just gonna look a lot different, and each school will be working together and using their creativity to define what those activities and clubs will look like. We'll continue to have opportunities for parent involvement. It will look different, for sure. And of course, we want to continue to have traditions such as virtual back-to-school night, parent-teacher conferences, all those things that we have just come to expect our schools to provide. So pardon me, I'm having some technical difficulties here. Okay, we're back on. Parents can also expect daily live interaction. And I'm taking here a quote from the Senate bill, Senate Bill 98. And it says that the purpose of daily live interaction, which occurs with teachers and students, is to provide instruction, to monitor progress, and to maintain school and social connectedness. So parents can expect daily live interaction. Parents can also, and students can also expect that we will be taking daily student attendance. Regular student attendance procedures will continue to be used during the distance learning time. Student attendance is required, it's not optional. Senate Bill 98 also creates requirements for reporting attendance during distance learning. Lots of accountability coming from the state, and we will make sure that we are adhere to all those requirements under the law. Teachers will take student attendance and students' attendance and participation under distance learning. And under Senate Bill 98, also please know that it defines daily participation and requires districts to develop a re-engagement plan if a student misses more than 60% of their weekly participation rate. So 60% ends up being 3 days, a total of 3 days out of the week. We're not gonna wait till day number 3. We will have a team to support schools as well as the schools themselves and making phone calls and if necessary to make some home visits. Sometimes life happens and especially now with the economic situation, it may mean that a family has moved and if they need additional support, our team, we wanna be sure that we're there for those families as well. So will keep track of every single child to ensure that they attend school, and that if they're not attending school, what can we do to bring them back? Because every year is critical, and the time that they're not in school is time lost. Now, parents with students with special needs can also expect that students are going to continue to receive special education related services and any other services required by the student's individualized educational plan. And our special ed team will be reaching out to families that have through the IEP process and through the teacher. You know, there are certain services that many of our children receive that will require special setups. Schools will provide the accommodations necessary to serve our kids with special needs, and Evergreen School District educators will continue to work with families to ensure that continued services for students as per their IEP. Parents and families can also expect that internet and devices will be provided for students and families and needed. Now, we have made a huge purchase so that our children do have that one-to-one device. We recognize that many of our families opted to not get a device during the spring, but that device, if it's shared by family, it may not be available for the child as easily available. So we will make sure that we're already working to identify the kids who need it. As you know, too, the devices that we provided for our students during the summer, we actually allowed our students to keep those devices so that they could continue to use them for learning. And so we will continue to work with our families. Now, students and families can expect that our school district will provide internet hotspots for students and families that do not have internet service. And we'll continue to work with our sites to identify the families who need that. Evergreen School District will also ensure that every student has an iPad and a Chromebook for learning, as I shared earlier. Now, students and families can expect that our school district will make every effort to ensure student participation, including home visits. I talked a little bit about this earlier. Student attendance really is not optional, and we will work with families to ensure that their children attend school, offering support if the family's experiencing hardship that prevents a child from attending school. Now, I also talked a little bit about enrichment opportunities, and this is something that I'm very excited about. We are still putting our list of classes together, and students will be offered a menu of enrichment classes that they can enroll. This is not part of the instructional day, by the way. This does not count toward the instructional minutes. This is beyond and enrichment classes that students can enroll at no cost. And so we will provide that information. Right now, we are working with different providers to see what we can do, what offerings we can have, on which days, et cetera. So the menu could be very long, as you can see it through these visuals here. You know, we could have something on math, something around music, some yoga, perhaps, something around communication, mathematics. It could be driven by academics. It could also be driven by other areas of interest. More information will be coming shortly. Families and students can also expect that we will have a homework help Zoom desk. That's the best name I could come up with right now, but students will have the opportunity to call a homework help desk for support with schoolwork. We recognize that at times a child may need that help, and it could be that parents are at work, and so we'll have we are going to be hiring subs and other support staff, subs mainly, to work with students through a Zoom desk so that children have available help when they need it. We will also, again, have a technology support desk. The students and families will have access to tech support, and we will make every effort to also offer tech support in Vietnamese and Spanish. Students and family can also expect that school lunch will be provided each day. Our daily schedules do include an extended lunch time, so that students and families can pick up their school lunch at their school. Students will continue to enjoy nutritious meals that include a vegetarian option, and families are encouraged to apply to free and reduced lunch application. And I have to emphasize this. For many of our families, the economic situation has changed. And, you know, worst case scenario is that you don't qualify. What have you lost 5 minutes of your time in applying? But you just don't know. So I do encourage all families, if you have not done so, to consider applying for the free and reduced lunch application. Okay. Let me go back one. Parents can expect availability of licensed childcare providers. We sent out a survey. It closed at 10 this morning. And we're working to identify licensed providers who understand Google Classroom and can adhere to health and safety requirements and can support students under their care during school hours. I've had several emails from families asking for certain providers, and the work that we do in vetting our providers, just so that you know, is that number one, they have to have a childcare license. If they don't have a childcare license, we are not allowed to have them on our sites. And I would not, even if it was not a requirement for us, I would not want to have children in an unlicensed childcare provider. And so I do receive your inquiries. Please know that in addition to childcare, we're working on many different things. So right now we have the results from the survey. Our families have told us who they are, who needs childcare, and based on that information, we will be working with our providers and reaching out to you soon. These providers are not, again, they're outside providers. Evergreen School District does not have childcare, but since they will be working with our children, our students, and also with the children of our employees, it is a high priority for us to make sure that we fully vet all providers working within our school district. And while completion of schoolwork, please know that while completion of schoolwork is not guaranteed by childcare providers, our childcare providers will work with families and students so that students can participate in distance learning during school hours. And beyond that, we are using some of our learning mitigation laws to see if we are able to provide additional adults in the classroom to walk around during class time while children are in class. If they're at a childcare provider and they're supposed to be attending school, an additional adult, so you have a ratio of 6-to-1 in the classroom to walk around and make sure that the child's not having trouble with their connectivity, their Zoom, all of those things that could come up. And we know very well that at home, mom and dad or whoever is taking care of them would be able to help them. However, at the childcare center, as a parent, you wonder, is my child going to be able to get help? So that's one of the commitments we're making to our families, that we deeply care for all our kids. And so that's something that we aim to provide. Now, there was a question, and I want to address it now. If you have childcare at the sites, why can't you bring kids back to school? The childcare is a huge demand from our community and even from our staff. And for us, what we do is we facilitate. We are facilitating so that this can happen because we recognize that this is a huge need. And childcare providers are allowed to work on a site. And so I wanted to make sure that I address that now because that question has surfaced before. Again, the other consideration and the main consideration too is that school districts, while under that watch list, which we're still there, are to remain in this distance learning mode. Also, parents and students can expect continued school-based activities in a modified manner. And our teachers, our principals, our support staff will be creative. And this is something that I'm urging our principals in their leadership at the sites. You know, when we look at those school-based activities, how can we modify them to maximize the engagement of our kids so they're not feeling so disconnected? Might we continue to have some school spirit activities? What types of clubs can we do? can we have? So those are the conversations that our schools are having and will continue to have throughout the year, because school to a child is more than sitting in a class and learning. It means all the things that happen at school, the friends that they make, the clubs that they're involved in, the activities that they're involved in, the school spirit that they wear, the school spirit shirt that they have. All of those things are what make school a special time for children. So we are aware of this, and we will do what we can to ensure that our children are able to feel involved and engage in their school. Students can also expect most traditional experiences such as back to school night, parent-teacher conferences. All will be not modified for health and safety reasons, and we still need to, this is again a lot of moving pieces here. We still need to plan for these. What would they look like? School-based information will be communicated by individual school sites and teachers. Now, Evergreen School District will support the social emotional well-being. This is one of our guiding principles, and we're going to continue to do that for our students through lessons, activities, direct services to students who also may have additional support. I always say that we don't know what's behind the smile. Sometimes, you know, we see a child, the child seems okay, and maybe that child's struggling. And so we do have an excellent team of social workers, an excellent team of counselors who have been working throughout the summer. Actually, they started a lot of their work during the spring in putting together not just lessons, but also resources for our students and our parents and our community. And you can find those on our website. And students and parents can expect the following information coming soon to them. From district, you could expect that we will provide you a distant learning handbook. It's almost completed. We need to do some final touches. And then, of course, our annual notices, those things that we send out every year. School site information will include the schedules, school manual, class assignments, information on material pickup, because our students are gonna need their materials. And so each school will work with their school community, with their parents to organize that so that can be done in a safe manner. So you'll get information as to how to pick up your materials. And then of course, the other information such as school clubs, activities, expectations, rules, procedures, all those schedules of events for the year, all those things. Recognize too that at times some of these things haven't, like for example, events from the year, the events may be there, but the details may be missing because we're still trying to figure out like how do we recreate X experience, for example. And then of course, the information that most parents care most about is the classroom teacher information that will have classroom expectations, rules, procedures, et cetera. We are going to be having a meeting soon with our principals next, I believe it's Monday or Tuesday, and we're gonna go over quite a lot of information. One of those things that I think it's gonna be very important is that back to school night. Our teachers need an opportunity to speak directly to families on those things that are so relevant to know for the beginning of the school year, the things that set the rest of the year. And with a shift in a paradigm shift in teaching and learning, there's a lot of information that our families will need. Now, as far as safety and support for staff, and I say staff because those are the people who will be going in to teach. Our school offices will be open. For example, we still have staff at the sites, we've got, like I said earlier, we have teachers who will choose to teach from the classroom. That's where everything is for them. We want to make sure that safety is first. And so physical barriers, in some locations, they still need to be installed. Making sure that we have workstations that are distanced. There's protocols on avoiding sharing equipment, making sure that when we have large meetings that we're doing them virtually. And of course, our personal protective equipment that needs to be provided. I don't expect that staff is going to go out and buy it, but of course they could buy their own, for example, masks, which may be personalized. And of course we will increase sanitation a lot more than we've ever seen, and we're already doing that. Professional development, I think this is something that I do want to emphasize with the paradigm shift. It could be, for example, I could tell you as a former teacher, I knew what to do going in every year with a different grade level, how in a classroom, I know exactly what to do. With the paradigm shift, it may be completely new to me, and I would need the support to become a really, really talented teacher and knowing how to engage my kids. And so here are some examples of things that will happen, but this is not everything. I'm just putting it out there because more than ever, we will need to have training for our teachers and our support staff so that we could best serve the children of our families, our own students. So as you can see there, I gave some examples such as strategies to support social emotional learning, leading with equity in mind, 21st century learning via distance learning, effective family communication strategies for schools, and distance learning 360. Now, as far as communication and family engagement, we will use multiple means of communication with families, such as like we have, and we will continue to be aggressive with our communication. We want to make sure that we are communicating with our families, and as we recognize that there's many languages that are spoken within our school district, the largest, of course, being English, Vietnamese, and Spanish. You can expect parents that we will have regular texts. Through some of the features, for example, many of our teachers use Seesaw. You could do text. We'll have voice and email messaging to families and employees, social media posted on various platforms, school-based and district information meetings will provide that information for you. And of course, we have our Safe Together, ESD Safe Together webpage that is maintained, updated every single day. Our staff is working on this and making sure that all information is current and pertinent. As far as community partnerships, our health department guidelines recommend limiting non-essential visitors on our campuses. However, we recognize that our partnerships need to be strong, even stronger than ever, because these challenges that we're facing are faced best when we are working in partnership with others. So our partnerships with businesses, with the city of San Jose, with nonprofit organizations, we will continue to support the needs of our students, their families, and our district as a whole. All volunteers, mentors, and community partners will be encouraged to continue serving service utilizing alternative methods. So we've got to figure out, like, if you were involved in such a way, how can it be you continue to be involved now through social distancing? And school volunteers, mentors, and community partners will be required to follow public health guidelines if the roles require visiting campuses. But I don't want our community to think that they're not needed and they're not valued. You are needed more than ever. And so we will continue to nurture those relationships so that we could maximize support for our students. And volunteer policies and procedures are being revised to incorporate the public health guidelines and alternative methods of service. As far as parent engagement, this is huge for our families. I've never been at a school district where we have more, where there's so much parent engagement here. Our parents want to be involved, in one way or another. And so how do we do that in this time of distance learning? Professional development on virtually engaging families and parents. This is something that we are going to continue to provide and offer for our educators and our support staff throughout in community stakeholders, because at times we may not conceive a way to engage the community, but through training we may be able to gather some fresh ideas. Parent education classes will be offered via our parent university. We recognize that for our parents, this is a huge change as well. And while we do have many who are so savvy from the tech industry, Not every parent can be defined by that. And we do have many families where, you know, they want the best for their kids. They want to help their child, and they may not have the knowledge, experience, and tools to do that. So we plan to provide those classes for our parents through our parent university. And any district recognitions events, of course, will need to be held virtually to prevent mass gatherings. And our district advisory committees and our PTA, PTSA, PTOs will continue to meet virtually, working to advocate and communicate with all stakeholders. Now, final preparations, I want to talk a little bit about that. We are finalizing the staff training calendar and plan to support schools with implementation. Part of our work is maximizing funding sources to support the reopening of schools and to support our students throughout the year. We need to continue to maintain clear communication channels with our schools, with our parents, or in all our community stakeholders. We will need to continue collaborative conversations with our union leaders to establish clear expectations for all employees, and so that we have a common understanding as to how we're going to move forward. This is a time where we're all going to need to support each other. We will need to ensure that we have a supply chain for keeping our schools stocked with critical supplies for protection and safe and health purposes. And we will update protocols to respond to any changing conditions and clearly communicate that with all stakeholders. I know it's a long presentation. Before I wrap things up, I know many of you have seen our video already, and I like to play it because it basically says in about 8 minutes everything that I've said for the last 45 minutes, but it's something that we want to get out there just so the community knows where we're coming from and that this is probably the most important work we've ever done. It's such a critical time, and we do need to maintain united as we move forward. Johanna, at this point, if I share the video here, it's going to cut it off. Daniel, are you able to just play the video? I'll stop sharing so that you could take over the screen and show it from the YouTube channel.
Yes, one sec.
We don't have volume.
There's no sound?
No.
Okay.
If we're not able to play it, I could go back to my presentation and I'll do it from there.
Daniel, I think you need to unmute though. If you're going to share, you have to unmute.
Got it.
Yeah, two more.
As we prepare for the upcoming school year, we know our Evergreen community has questions regarding how we will reopen and what our plan will be.
Yes.
And while we understand that no single option is ideal for every family, the Evergreen School District is committed to providing our students and employees with an environment that is responsive to the impact of COVID-19 school closures, mitigates risks of exposure, and maximizes student learning and achievement.
We're living through one of the most difficult times in history. The number of COVID cases continues to increase. And for us, we have to consider, how do we best keep our students safe? How do we best keep our staff and our families safe? School districts are being called to make some very tough decisions. Many parents who are okay with the distance learning model are saying, yes, we understand. Yes, we are concerned as well. However, we want you to know that moving forward, we want to make sure that our children are learning, that the level of engagement, the level of participation is going to be high quality so that our children do not fall behind.
Our thoughtful and comprehensive approach to distance learning for the 2020-2021 school year is new and will look very different than what was offered at the end of last school year.
when the pandemic came and we were forced to close schools, we were basically building the airplane while we were flying it. And we were making split minute decisions every single day in order to provide access to our students in the best way we could. What will be different in the fall for full distance learning would be the legislation that's in place now with Senate Bill 98, providing more detail and expectations for what a rigorous program looks like.
In our distance learning program, students and families can expect to see a single platform for instruction, coordination of student class schedules and assignments, so there are clear expectations for teachers and students. Establish clear class times for all students. Secure and easy-to-use communication channels between teachers and students. Virtual, live interactions between teachers and students. Streamline and systemize online assignment access and submission. The return to a traditional grading model. Adherence to instructional minutes required per grade level. And then there will be ongoing distance learning training for teachers before and during the school year.
The district and site staff and parents will have to strike more of a collaboration in terms of what it means for kids to be in school in a distance learning model. And I think all of that comes with transparent communication, a lot of meetings, a lot of stakeholder input. There's no doubt in my mind everybody in Evergreen is trying to do what's best for kids.
It is our goal to provide every student with a rigorous and enriching educational experience, and we won't allow this pandemic to take that away from them. Every student in Evergreen will have access to a technology device and internet, as well as grab-and-go meals. We realize that this pandemic may pose significant challenges for some of our families, and we are working on providing resources to assist with childcare and tutoring for those who need it. The Evergreen School District recognizes that the pandemic, associated school closures, and recent events in our nation surrounding racism have had a profound impact on the mental, social, and emotional well-being of our students and staff. Our district remains committed to addressing and responding to these needs before and during the 2020-21 school year.
Everything from making sure kids have basics like food and school supplies and clothing, we've been reaching out to students facing housing insecurity, so getting resources out. We also know that students connect on campus, and so we are really focusing on ways to make sure students can continue to connect with each other. We're having district-wide social-emotional learning lessons available so that teachers can build connection into their regular teaching for this year. And in addition to that, we're developing resources for teachers and also for parents and for students so that the questions that they have, the things that are coming up, will be right there for them.
The Evergreen School District is also increasing its focus and approach to improving equity for our students and staff, and we will share these resources with our community soon.
This is what it could potentially look like.
The Safe Together Schools reopening plan has been a thoughtful process supported by a committee of stakeholders who can best advise on what families, students, and staff need when coming back to school. They have been meeting since June.
Ms. Macias just presented a lot of really important information. We want to hear your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions.
I have a question. So for the middle school schedule, like how do you follow that schedule? You just follow it on your own?
I want to make sure that you understand that Wednesdays are not a day off. It is a day for you to continue to learn. Thank you once again for participating in our focus group.
Good morning, boys and girls, as you enter the building.
Based on feedback collected from our Evergreen community, when the time is right for students to physically come back to school, our families are clearly opting for options. In January 2021, if it is safe to do so, and if Santa Clara County has been removed from the state of California's COVID-19 monitoring list for the 14-day period, the district will be ready to open with a hybrid learning model.
We've had the Superintendent's Teaching and Learning and Safe Environments Advisory Committee that meets once a week and whose role is to listen to what is taking place in the district to prepare for any model. We have the Educational Services Committees that looks at anything regarding teaching and learning.
schedules, social emotional learning, all those things. We have the facilities and pupil services subcommittees that looks at facilities. We know that our children will be back someday and we want to be fully prepared. So what conditions do we have in our classrooms to ensure that they are safe? We also have a human resources subcommittee because this is a paradigm shift. And for anybody working with our children, they need to clearly understand what they are required to do in terms of health and safety. There's a lot of training involved in that.
It is important to note that guidance regarding the reopening of schools comes from federal and state laws, the California Department of Education, Department of Public Health, CDC guidelines, as well as state and county directives. EESD will adhere to all health and safety guidelines with an interest in securing the health and safety of students and staff.
We don't have a playbook for this. Every day we get new data. Every day we get new guidelines. We have to plan really quickly because school's about to start August 19th for us, and we need to be ready for students day one.
School and class schedules, expectations of students, parents, and staff, services for our students with diverse needs, and other crucial details will be administered via email and phone calls and can be found on our social media accounts and on our Safe Together website.
We thank our community for their patience. We're going to get through this, and we will come out of this even stronger.
Mute myself. I do that every single time. So you've seen our video, and this is where we are as a district right now. I do want to thank our Board of Trustees for your continued support. This truly is a team effort, and we couldn't do it without the engagement of all the people who have come in to do all the work, and without the support of our Board of Trustees. And this concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Flores, for that presentation and that wealth of information. Very well done. At this time, board members, we have an item 4.1. It is the approval for reopening of the school plan for school year 2020-21. I will entertain a motion at this time for our approval.
President Welch, I just want to let you know there are four hands raised before okay. You vote.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay. I didn't know we had anyone rating, but since we do, Daniel, will you have our first person?
Yes, it is Florentina Miller.
Okay, Ms. Miller, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have any questions.
Okay, thank you. Daniel, who would be the second person?
Next, we have Holly Gonzalez.
Mrs. Gonzalez, go ahead.
Yeah, so first of all, just listening to the presentation, I was really taken aback by the comments that we were provided training last year for distance learning. The training we received was completely inadequate. It was self-paced. Everything we did was on our own with help from other teachers. When Dr. Flores made that statement, my phone was like blowing up with texts from other teachers, just completely outraged by that statement. We're really hoping training for next year is better. We start school on the 19th and we have 2 days of training that we are technically paid for, which is the 17th and 18th. One of those is usually completely taken up with logistical matters. So I'm wondering how you're planning on training us in 1 day, how to set up our Google Classroom, how to get all our students loaded into that so that we can start teaching on the 19th. I just don't understand how that's gonna happen. And I'm very just concerned about that. As a parent, I have to say that even with the inadequate training, the teachers did an amazing job last year. Both of my sons had, wonderful teachers who I know did a lot of things on their own. Just simply figuring out how to set up a dock camera at home took hours and hours of our time. So I'm honestly just really upset by that right now. Something else I wanted to bring up is the safety issue. Right now we have very little people, you know, on campuses, just basically classified people. And to the best of my knowledge, you've already had to shut down 2 offices during the summer for COVID cases. So I'm wondering how you're expecting teachers to be on campus teaching, if that's the case. I'm just kind of wondering what all the safety and all these things are coming from, because I don't see it happening right now. Also, the homework desk that you're going to have subs teaching, we don't even have subs to make up for the teachers right now. Where are these people coming from? So, I mean, I have a lot of issues with what's being said. I know there's all these committees with all these handpicked people on them, but I don't see anything actually being done. Thank you.
Thank you for your concerns, Holly. Daniel, who's our next person? Daniel, is there anyone else waiting to speak?
Yes, we have Harjeet Sandhar. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name.
Okay, go ahead, Harjeet. Harjeet, are you there? Okay, Daniel, who would be the next person?
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
Actually, this is Christopher Friend. Harjeet's my wife.
Okay.
We're parents of a special needs preschool autistic child that is requiring a hand-to-hand contact and instructions on how to learn, because doing the video learning classrooms and everything, it was very tough for him to even comprehend anything or learn anything. And he's nonverbal, so he can't interact like all the other students. That was blowing him away with all these answers and getting stuff done. So I would like to know exactly what your guys' plans are for actually having special needs children like him to learn. Because like I said, I commend you guys what you did, like trying to get things, the ball rolling as fast as it's being pushed back. But I'd like to know what your guys' plans are for hands-on training for students such as my son.
Thank you very much. Okay. Our next person, Daniel.
Yes, we have Divya Nepal.
Nepal, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, hi, this is one of the parents whose child is coming in third grade this year. And thanks for such a nice presentation. And we are glad that the team is doing great and everyone is really helping us in making this situation. Only a couple of things I have in mind. One of the concern which the teacher also raised, that how adequate training we are getting, because we didn't, like, from March to May, we didn't had a very nice experience. Like, we just had 20 minutes or 10 minutes of school, and it was very difficult. All the homework was given back to us, and we had to spend individually 3 to 4 hours with the child. So I just wanted to understand that this 3 hours, 50 minutes instructional time, that is interaction with the teacher, or actually it would be just the videos or the materials being sent over during this time.
Okay, thank you for your concerns and questions. Daniel, do we have anyone else waiting?
Yes, we have 3 more at the moment. Okay. Next, we have Caitlin Nguyen.
Go ahead, Caitlin.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I have a question. So, our governor said that, if the county stays off the list for 14 days, then school can reopen. So I'm just trying to reconcile how, let's say we're closed and then we fall off the list at some point for 14 days. So the parents will and teachers will just have 14 days preparation to bring everyone back. And then if we go on to the list again, then abruptly things will be distant learning again. So I'm trying to understand the logistics of how that's going to work with being on and off of the watch list. And the other thing I wanted to comment on was, I think it's a really good idea to, do distant learning and not bring what you're doing right now. And I'm in full support of that because I don't think that, I think it's more traumatic for the kids to be in a cluster and be exposed and have school close again, rather than, just doing it safely when we can reopen.
Okay. Thank you, Caitlin. I just want to say, I know we have some more people that have comments, and a lot of the comments are really questions. I want to assure you that our superintendent takes down every single name during this time of discussion, and she writes down all the questions. And although I just want everybody who is have concerns tonight that we will get back to you. The superintendent will get back to you. I want to assure you that your question is not going unanswered. Your name has been taken down, as well as your question or concern, and someone will get back to you. Okay, Daniel, how many? We have another person waiting?
Yeah, we have four more.
More people, okay. Next person, please.
Nainesh Shah.
Okay. Shah, Mr. or Ms. Shah, I don't know.
Yeah, my name is Nainesh Shah. I'm Mr. Shah.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for a nice presentation. We really like it. We are new, and my son is coming to the kindergarten, and first time we are coming to a public school. I was a little bit late. I might have missed some information, but the major questions I have that I understand you guys are going to provide all the devices. You guys are going to give us some instructions about how to attend it and all those things. But I'm just wondering when and how to pick those devices, where to pick it up, as well as the weekly schedule for the kids. I hope you guys will send out all the instructions probably later down the month or something. Would it be communicated through email or some other way? I'm just wondering. And probably, I'm a new parent, so that's why I was a little bit wondering about that.
Well, welcome to Evergreen. Thank you. The next person, please. Daniel?
Yes. Next we have Mrs. Valentino Pickett.
Okay, Mrs. Valentino Pickett, go ahead, please.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Thank you to all that are working tirelessly to enable distance learning. My only worry and concern for us to inquire and seek out is how can we keep the privacy of everyone, most especially the students? Again, I thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Our next speaker, please.
We have, I apologize if I mispronounce your name. It's Muniba Zeeshan.
Muniba, go ahead. Muniba, are you there? Okay, Daniel, the next person.
Next is Mahavir Jayabalan.
Mahavir, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the
Mahavir, we lost you.
Oh, that's my fault.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me okay now?
Yeah, start again.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thanks for the presentation. Thanks for keeping us informed. I have the same questions as some of the others who've asked before. You mentioned that they would get answered. Is it going to be individual responses to each one of those, or would the community get to know them as well?
Okay. That's a good question, and everybody will be contacted or their questions will be answered. And I do know that we have a Q&A on our website for ongoing questions, especially if they pertain to population. So someone will be getting back to you to respond to all of your questions and concerns.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next person.
I'm going to jump back to Muniba Zishan. They raised their hand again.
Okay. Muniba, go ahead.
Hello.
There you go.
Okay, great. My microphone is on. So thank you for being here, and I really appreciate you guys working
Excuse me, Maniba. Excuse me. Can you turn up your mic just a little bit? You're hard to hear.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay, great. So my question is, I have a kindergartner starting for the first time in every school district. So wanted to know, how will you guys be handling children as little as kindergartners? There is a couple of hours at least that they would be connected through screen. So just wanted to make sure how the little children would be guided and handled.
I didn't quite get your question. You're going to have to speak a little louder on your question.
My question is how the kindergartners would be handled during this time when they would be connected. I think it would be 3 hours of distance learning for them. How the teachers are going to handle the kindergartners being in front of the screen for 3 hours. I know that's the only option. But I just wanted to learn a little bit more about the ways, the creative ways they would be engaging children.
Okay, that's a good question as well. And again, I know there are a lot of kindergartner parents have that same question, but again, those questions, the district will get back to you. And that's probably one that will be on the Q&A website. So thank you for your question. Daniel, do we have anyone else?
Yes, Dear Wong Bo.
Okay, go ahead. Duan Bo. Are they there, Daniel?
They're still showing their hand raised. And I've given them permission to speak.
Go ahead. Is it anyone else after Duan Bo?
I think perhaps they are on the other channel.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
Yes, we have Archana Yarlagada.
Go ahead, Archana.
Hi, we're new to the school district, so wanted to know when the first correspondence with teachers would be.
Okay, we will get back to you, and welcome to the district. Next person.
Next, we have Donna Corsell.
Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thank you so much, Dr. Flores, for your presentation. Appreciate all the hard work and everything the entire board is doing for the community and the school district. My question or comment is, at the end, well, we first went into shelter in place. It kind of abruptly stopped, and my daughter is at Shibuya, seventh grade. And so they had to finish up. Obviously, it started a little bit later, but she had to eventually get into the Elevate program this summer. And that is a huge asset to her. It really, really helped her. And I think it's going to prepare her greatly for eighth grade. And so I thank the district for that service that you provide. So here's my question, and I know Dr. Flores, you addressed it a little bit in your presentation, but I want to know more on how that you will measure the progress of our virtual learning to adequately prepare these children for the next grade. I know you mentioned that, but I don't know how, because I know that testing was, we didn't do testing last year. My daughter's going to high school, and I'm planning on putting her into a private high school. And I'm just wondering, should I put her into a private eighth grade so that she can get the proper education that she needs to prepare her for that next level? So we love the school, you know, with 4 hours of curriculum, I'm just not sure if that's gonna do it. And so I just need to know more about that, how you guys plan to measure that. And I'm sure that you're looking into that as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Carcel. Anyone else, Daniel?
Yes, we have Palak Mehta.
Okay. Palak, go ahead. Palak, are you there?
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, you know, I have a son who will be going to second grade this year, and that will be a new school for him. So, you know, I have multiple questions. Firstly, that, you know, we haven't seen the school yet. And it's kind of, you know, it's tough for us new parents who haven't visited the school, have no clue how the school is, you know, haven't met teachers, or, you know, it's pretty much, you know, we are moving in the dark as of now. So just wondering that, is there any scope that, you know, parents would be allowed with all the precautions, we can visit the school, maybe the teachers, or any scope of that? And secondly, how is the grading system? Will it be the same as, you know, the classes on site, or would it be any different? And thirdly, would there be any change in the curriculum? Will all the subjects be covered, or there are few subjects which will be given some more importance than the other subjects? So, you know, these are the questions I would, you know, would like to get an answer. And I appreciate all the hard work you all are doing, and I hope, you know, we have taken the right decision by, you know, going to the Evergreen School District.
Okay, thank you, and welcome to the district. Daniel, do we have anyone else?
Three more at the moment, sorry.
Okay.
Anupam Tiwari.
Okay. Anupam?
Yeah. Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for the information that you provided. So we're also new to the school district. Our son will be starting kindergarten, and we were kind of waiting to get some information. So I'm glad that we were able to attend today's session and get some information. However, I still have some questions, right? So we don't know which school our son has been enrolled. We haven't received any sort of communication on that front. So we'd want to understand as well. Secondly, again, the same thing as one of the other parents asked earlier, since my son will be starting in kindergarten, I think it will require a little bit more interaction with them to keep him engaged. You know, he was in Montessori when this thing started, and it was really hard for him to be on a device and be focused, right? So this is going to be key to keep him engaged, to keep him attending the classes, right? So be interested in knowing more around how would you be engaging the kids, especially that young in age. So, but yeah, looking forward, and thank you for this information.
Thank you for your question, and welcome to the district. Do we have anyone else? You have speakers, Daniel?
Yes, Mrs. Okay. Marcius.
Okay, Ms. Marcius, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I know this isn't a priority per se, because there's other things that are more important, but something caught my ear during the presentation about the enrichment activities. So my question is, will these particular enrichment activities be available like district-wide, since we're not meeting in person? Let's say, for example, a drama club. Would, you know, if it's at one site, let's say my school, Carolyn Clark, we want to do a drama club. And then, you know, there's another student who may be at another school site who doesn't have a drama club. Would they be able to join that since technically we're not meeting in person and they could just, you know, zoom in to the class and so forth. So basically that's what I was wondering, if the enrichment activities were gonna be available across the district in case a school didn't have, you know, something that another child would be interested in, or if it's just per site. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marcia. Next person, please, Daniel.
We have Shady Julian.
Next speaker, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I was, are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, I was just wondering who was going to be answering a lot of these questions, because I know I heard you say that someone's taking down the names of the people asking the questions, but these are all really good questions, and I feel like us as parents should be able to know all of these answers than just getting back directly to who specifically is asking the questions. And I know, you know, we're already coming into August, and we've had very little information from the district, from the school, about what's going to be going on into the new year. We're kind of really being like parents left in the dark. Again, I signed up my son for school. I had to call and make sure that his registration, that they received everything, was complete, because nobody ever told me like everything is done or not. And like a lot of other parents, my son is going into kindergarten, and how is he supposed to be focused for 3 hours? Are we as parents going to have to just sit with them the whole 3 hours? How is that going to work?
Okay, that's a great concern, and you have great questions. Again, I will repeat, as our parents are asking questions and having concerns, I know my superintendent is writing those questions down, and there are other people also taking notes. I'm taking notes. Your concerns and questions will be, you will get information back on your concerns and questions. We have your emails. Also, as you stated, many of these questions are general questions to all parents. So we have websites and their list of Q&A, and the principals, the sites, the secretaries, and the appropriate people will be reaching out to you so that you will know about the registration, how your kinder teacher will get back to you or reach out to you, how you will get your child scheduled. So we are listening, and these things will be answered. And after our last speaker is, and in part of our discussion before we vote, I wanna also ask Dr. Flores if she could comment a little bit in that discussion period, because I do wanna assure the parents that we are going to get back to them. And this is a very important time for us to really listen and hear what you're asking. So thank you so much. Okay, is this Dayu Hong Vo?
Yes, I'm speaking. I have a niece and nephew who will be first grade and third grade in Evergreen Elementary School this coming year. But they just came from Vietnam in March 20, and they haven't started school here yet. And they barely can understand English or write English, and neither their parents. So I'm wondering like how the district can have, I'm wondering if you have any special assistant for my niece and nephew so that they can adapt to the new life in the United States and then catch up with all the schoolwork.
Thank you very much. That's a good concern as well, and as many parents' concern. Daniel, how many people do we have left that met the 550 timeline?
Two left, including Trustee Zito.
Okay.
Next, we have Vasudha Niyogi.
Okay, Vasudha, go ahead.
Hi, my question is, so I have a son who's going to third grade, and when you mentioned that parents will be informed by schools when to collect all the materials, do you mean all the books and workbooks that the school, the kids use at school? Because as a parent, I think I feel that if the books and workbooks and all the worksheets are sent home, it's going to be more impactful and more exciting for the kids instead of just studying everything online and taking printouts. And I think it's going to be better if, and for me as a parent, I will feel more connected and in touch with the curriculum, because I will need to be around and see what he's doing and if he needs any help or if any explanation is needed. And I think physical books along with distance learning will make more impact, will be more impactful for the child. And I think it's going to be also more exciting than just logging in every day. I think if he has his worksheets and his books, that all the material that kids use at school, all the different subjects, I would request if we can, parents can get those as well.
Thank you so much. Good comment. Our next speaker, Daniel.
Yes, it's Trustee Zito.
Trustee Zito, go right ahead.
So assuming that all the other parents, you know, just check one more time, anybody else wants to speak. I was going to make the motion to approve the school opening plan for 2021. And then I would speak to my motion.
Okay. Let me check with Daniel, because I haven't asked for the question yet. And I want to make sure we get all of our speakers finished, and then we'll have our ask for the question and get our motions and stuff in. Okay, mm-hmm. Daniel, do we have any? I think you said it was one more person that met that 5:50 deadline. And please, just to note, please send all questions. If you didn't make the 5:50 deadline, we still want to hear from everyone. We pride ourselves in working with our parents and making sure they have everything they need so that the children can be successful in our Evergreen schools. So please send your emails to boardroom@eesd.org and state your concern there, and definitely the appropriate person, school, personnel will get back to you. Okay, Daniel, is there, I think we have one more speaker, is that correct?
No, no more hands.
No more hands, okay.
So, I'd like to say something.
Dr. Flora, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to thank all our speakers, and we do pride ourselves with getting back to you as soon as possible. And what we do with your questions, if it's a question that could benefit others, we do include it in the Q&A. If you give us your email address and we know who you are, we do email you a response directly as well. So if we don't have, so for example, if you've spoken but I don't have your email address, what you could expect to get is a response in our Q&A. Since you took the time to ask the questions here at this meeting and waited through that long presentation, I would love to be able to address your question directly. So please, that's our process. And if ever you are finding that you have additional questions, we check that EESD Q&A webpage and every day. And we do pride ourselves with getting back to you right away. So please continue to send those. And many of our families already have used that as a resource to ask questions.
Thank you, Dr. Flores. Okay, at this time, I will entertain a motion to approve the reopening of school plans for the 2021 school year. Mr. Zito?
Yes, so moved. And I'd just like to say thank you very much to Dr. Flores, to the staff, to administration for all the many, many, many hours, especially to the committees who volunteered to meet multiple times to come up and brainstorm. Also to the 300 plus people who joined us, parents, community members, teachers, staff, so on. I know this is a lot of work. As a parent of a senior, And as a substitute teacher, I know very much what the work is from a variety of perspectives. And I really appreciate all the effort everybody's making, understanding that we have to pivot, understanding all the priorities of health and safety, learning, the training and resources, the, you know, organizing community volunteers, parent engagement, collaboration, and so on. And going forward, the maximum to ensure maximum funding from all the various resources, another plan to pivot in case we are asked to open, and then ultimately keeping a high priority on the safety of our students, of our staff, of our community, and maintaining that safety stock that we all will need as we go forward. So thank you to all my colleagues, and so moved.
Second. Okay.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's been moved, Trustee Zito, and second by Trustee Mays. Is there any discussion?
Leela, can I just ask a question, couple of questions?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. So just as Trustee Zito said, thanks to everyone. I know this is really tough to build the airplane while we're flying it. So we did hear from a lot of new parents. And so I just want to, first of all, welcome you, but also say to Dr. Flores, are we doing something special for new parents to introduce them to the community in addition to everything else, because they've never been in our community? So that would be one thing. And then the second thing is, because a lot of parents who spoke today are very interested in the timeline for information, it sounds like a lot of people are concerned as school is coming up in the middle of August. Dr. Flores, what's your timeline for the next steps of getting information out to parents? I know we still have to get out the schedules, all sorts of things about the teacher training and such. So sort of what's the timeline of next steps? Thanks.
So the timeline for the school's about to start, and part of our staffs have been working throughout the summer. However, there are people who have just come back. Our office is just open. Our principals are just coming back, and so we need until we need the following week to put everything together. And our families can expect that they will receive communication that Monday after. And I can look at my calendar to identify that date. So that would be, I'm in the wrong month. My apologies. So that would be the September. That would be the 10th.
August 10th. Okay. All right. Okay. So that sounds, we always send back our welcome back letters with the information and all of that for the parents. That's something that we've always done and we continue to do, and especially for our new parents into the district with the kinders. So thank you, Dr. Flores, for giving that information to us tonight. Do we have any more discussion from any? Oh, go ahead, Dr. Flores, I'm sorry.
My apologies, I didn't address the second question. The second question had to do with families who may be new. One of the things that one of our schools actually is doing is and so again, we have to be creative as to how we're going to approach those things that we normally easily did when we could all be on campus. And so, for example, visiting schools. One of the ways that one of our school has done is actually creating a virtual tour of the school. That's a possibility, but more information will be coming from the schools. I want to allow our schools to get creative. We have a principals meeting coming up early next week where we will be brainstorming through this, as we also want to have consistency across our district. And again, we will be answering those questions directly with parents if they give us an email address, and we'll have the Q&A questions area for questions as well.
Thanks. And then just Leela,
I think I saw Chris first. And Chris, did you have something? Look like your hand was up, Chris?
Yes.
and then Bonnie, okay? Because Chris Ann was up.
Sure, no problem.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Just a question about the quality of devices and the internet connection. I did experience that in the beginning, had to switch devices. So I guess we have been getting feedback from families, and also the interesting event of multiple children in the house. They need multiple devices. And so I know we will do that, but is our special funding helping with that?
Yes, the funding we have received from the state is what we're using to purchase all this technology. Recognizing that at some point we're gonna need to, this doesn't provide for everything, but for right now, it will keep us for the meanwhile. We do have some older devices that also need to be replaced, but are still good. That's for planning down the line. But for right now, we could guarantee that every child will have a device, one. And in families where there's multiple children, we will be taking a look at that situation and possibly providing two hotspots if necessary.
Okay. Go ahead, Trustee Mays. Thank you.
Oh, was Chris done?
Oh, I believe. I'll chime in later. Go ahead.
Chris,
if you need to add more to your question, go ahead.
Not right now. I'll chime in if my question doesn't get answered.
Okay. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Well, I was just going to say that the one really, really bright spot is that for years we've been talking about enrichment activities and how to really mesh that into what we offer. So I'm really happy, and I know the community is happy to see that Dr. Flores and staff are really considering how to structure enrichment activities and what it's going to look like. So thanks again for broadening the spectrum of what's available to our children during this pandemic.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
You're
the only person we haven't heard from, so you might as well chime in.
Yes, thank you, President Welch. Thank you for the presentation, Dr. Flores. You know, as a high school classroom teacher and a parent of a seven-year-old who's in special education, there's so much going on right now. So I think we're all just trying to make it through. And that presentation was amazing. I feel like it's more than I'm getting from the county, but that's another story. But in a week from now, you know, Eastside's going to be opening. Our students are only getting their schedule officially on Monday. So, you know, they'll get their schedule a week before school. So, you know, we're doing okay on our timeline. I appreciate that. And so for those parents that have high schoolers, you'll see the schedule next week online. So, I think we're all in the same boat. You know, we're doing the best we can as an educators. You know, it isn't what we want to do. It's what we know is right to do. And I think that that's been clear with ETA the last couple of times they've spoken. You know, we are people that want to be with the children, but we want to protect them and we want to keep them safe. And so I think that's our priority right now. And we'll do the best we can as educators, and then we'll hopefully get to see everybody, you know, in this very healthy time. So that we're looking forward to, definitely. Thanks.
Chris?
Just kind of wondering about when we do pivot to come back to school, we have two different levels of education. You know, kinder, I think, is actually on its own too, but just the difference between the elementary K-6 implementation and then the middle school, because, you know, middle school, they move through the hallways and it's a whole different implementation that needs to be thought of. I'm sure everybody has, but just so the parents know that there might be something different, just like high school went to, is it the same, went through the same thing, and they went quickly to online learning because it's just too hard to guarantee the health safety of the students and teachers.
Okay. Well, I just like to, Chris, if you're finished, I'm sorry, I don't wanna, are you, you're okay, Chris? Okay. I thought you was finished, but I wanted to make sure. I'd like to thank the district family for working so hard. We have our cabinet, our teachers, our CSEA, we have our parents on committees, we have parents taking out time to take space to ask questions. The presentation, I thought, really good because it really elicited some great questions. And when you do a good job, people come away with better questions. So I appreciate all the hard work, and I know it's more work to do. And I just want everybody to remember, there is no template for what we're doing. We're doing the best we can, as quick as we can, because this is new to the whole world. So I think Evergreen, I feel really good that we're moving along, and we're trying our best to do what's best for the safety of not only the students, but the teachers and everyone. And so I really appreciate the work, and thank you, Dr. Flores, for your leadership in all of this work that has been done and all the work that we still need to do. So there is a motion on the floor. I'm going to call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, Trustee Mace?
Aye.
Trustee Hansen?
Aye.
Trustee Corpus?
Aye.
Trustee Zito?
Yes.
And Trustee Welch? Yes, the motion carries. So we have approved the reopening school plans for the 2021 school year. Item number five, is there anything, Dr. Flores, for as far as informational items?
No, actually, I just wanted to go back to the reopening of schools and just thank our stakeholders for their patience. I know this is tough. I'm a parent too, and with a child in high school, and I look at it through that lens too. Thank you for your patience. We will provide you accurate information as fast as we can. And I also want to thank our advisory committee, our subcommittees, and all the teams that have been doing lots of work to get things done, including our executive cabinet. And then again, thank you to our school board for your continued support and even guidance in some areas where maybe we're shifting a certain way, or you're hearing, you are the eyes and ears of our community. And so it is helpful to gain that perspective through you too. So we do appreciate you, Board of Trustees, for everything you do to support us.
Thank you so much. Okay, item six, future meetings. We have one on August 13th, September 10th, October 8th, 12th and December the 10th. Thank you, my board colleagues. I will entertain a motion for an adjournment.
Madam President, one point of order.
Okay, go ahead.
I believe that we have to, did we miss approving the personnel report, or did that happen when?
We didn't have to approve the report. We had to approve the individual 3.2 and 3.3, which we did.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Now I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So I motion to adjourn. I do have a question. Are we going to have a date yet for the governance
workshop?
If not, that's fine. Just wondering.
Johanna, what do we have? I believe we do. I'm pretty sure we do. I will email you.
That's fine.
So I thought you had that information already. My apologies.
Okay. A motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Okay. Marissa made the motion. Was Marissa?
No, it was Bonnie.
Sorry.
Well, Jim actually originally made the motion.
Yeah. Okay. So it has been moved by Mr. Zito and second by Mr. Corpus. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. This meeting is adjourned. Again, thank you, everyone, and thank you to all of our participants.
Thank you, parents. Bye. Thank you, staff. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right.